Welcome to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at yucaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Yucaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.
I'd like to welcome you to the program. This is Milton Beauchamp. I'm the pulpit minister at the Yucaipa Church of Christ, and folks, we would love to have you come and visit with us. You're welcome anytime, and so please make plans for that. Love to have you. That's Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday evening. The lesson today is Christ Made It All Possible. And I'd like to share with you our foundational passage, which is in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit of our God. Ladies and gentlemen, our God has created the means for us to overcome those things that will keep us from inheriting His kingdom. When one gives themselves over to obey Him, they are washed, sanctified, and justified by Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is all of this presented in Scripture? And are these things needed throughout our entire Christian life? First, let's consider how all this is presented in Scripture. God took something that we need as human beings to survive, water, and gave us the command to wash away your sins by being baptized. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, the Apostle Paul, as he would eventually become, then known as Saul, was told by Ananias, "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And of course, Paul indeed, or Saul at that point, was baptized. To be washed is to be cleansed. And you know, we think about it, of course, when it comes time to do laundry or to wash ourselves up after perhaps working in the garage and getting dirty. Psalms chapter 51, verse 10, is David's appeal to God. And he's appealing to God for something very specific and very important as far as he is concerned. And this is just beautiful, the sentiment that he's expressing, even though he is repenting of the sin that he had committed against God. In Psalms 51, verse 10, we have, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." When we turn our attention then to the New Testament, and we go to the book of 2 Corinthians, and go to chapter 7, verse 1, we have, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And then James. In James chapter 4, verse 8, James wrote, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." God called Israel to reason with Him and promise them, "Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow." Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Then to be sanctified is to be made holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, Peter wrote, But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. We are to share His holiness, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Let's take a look at this together, please. Hebrews 12, 10, where it says, referencing physical fathers, "For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness." What a concept. You know, we all think of God and how magnificent He is, and how He is capable of seeing all and understanding all, and having power that we can't imagine, and an understanding mind that we can't imagine. And yet here, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, we're taught that we can share in His holiness. The question is, can this be done? You know, we as humans who are imperfect and fall short of God's glory on a repeated basis, we just might not believe that's possible. But I want you to know that John the Baptist was indeed a holy individual, and he was referenced as such in the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 6, verse 20. Let's take a look together, Mark 6, 20, at how he was referred to. "For Herod was afraid of John, knowing that he was a righteous and, note, holy man, and he kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed, but he used to enjoy listening to him." Now, of course, Herod would be the one who would ultimately call for John's head to be removed from him at the insistence of a woman that he was very infatuated with. And, of course, because he had promised before his guests, he carried that out. But he understood exactly who John the Baptist was, that he was indeed a servant of God, and he was a holy man, dedicated to the Lord. To be justified in God's eyes is to be treated by Him as if we never sinned against Him. Let that soak in just a moment, and then together let's go to the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans many times in this lesson, so let me encourage you to kind of keep your finger in place. Again, we're going to Romans. And let's look at verses 23 and 24 first. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." You see, Jesus made it all possible. And everything comes back to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only has God chosen to provide the means to justify fallen sinners, but by the same choosing, He also glorified them. Let's travel to Romans chapter 8, verse 30 together. Romans 8, 30. Take a look at this with me. It says, "And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified." Now, wouldn't you say that if God put in place the means for us all to be indeed these three things, washed, sanctified, and justified, would you not say that we've been glorified? Absolutely. God has singled us out. Now, that's not to say Jesus didn't die for all, because according to Hebrews 10:10, that's exactly the case. Everyone on this entire earth, and those that will ever be born into this life, they will have the opportunity for all of these things we've been talking about. The means that God Himself made possible through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is God who justifies sinners through the efficacy of Jesus' shed blood. Let's look at 8:33 of Romans. "Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies." And please remember, that's as though we've never sinned against God. That's really what justification in this case is all about. As if we have never sinned. And the word that is akin to justification in the Greek is the word righteousness. And these all are absolutely magnificent. But now, please, let me direct you back in Romans to chapter 5. Let's go to 5, and let's share verses 9 and 10. Much more, then, having now been justified, how? By his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, we pointed this out on another occasion at least, but no one ever references Jesus as the late Jesus. No one does, because he's living. Remember, yes, indeed, he gave himself upon the cross, the perfect sacrifice. He was the Lamb without spot and without blemish, as Peter explains in 1 Peter chapter 1. But please understand something. He himself indicated that he had power from his Father to lay down his life and take it again. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. And that is exactly what Jesus did on the third day he rose, very early in the morning. And then, of course, manifested himself over a period of 40 days, according to Luke's writing in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. In fact, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. That's what Luke wrote there in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And then, of course, he continues on. He's at the right hand of God, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Our God has leveled the playing field so that we can actually live for him, because this is the only way we could anticipate even doing so. And I would take you once again back to chapter 3 of Romans. When we get there together, once again, consider verses 21 and 22. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. And isn't that amazing? We know that God doesn't show partiality, for this is what Peter explained before the Gentile household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35. He went through quite a self-examination, and yet at exactly the same time, he had a vision. That vision was of a four-cornered sheet that was lowered down to him with all of these animals that a Jew would classify as something they could not participate in, for they were barred in the law of Moses. And he said, "Not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." And the Lord told him, "What I've made clean, don't you call common or unclean." That led him to the conclusion before the household of Cornelius in Acts 10, 34 and 35, that God is not one to show partiality. So anyone who will, can become one of God's own and thus be glorified by him in the means that he provided to make it possible for us to be cleansed and saved from our sins. Oh, that's so wonderful. Just to stop and think about it. You know, it's like the church building in Yucaipa, where I'm privileged to be able to serve the Lord among my brothers and sisters there, our family, as we like to think of ourselves, and of course the scriptures actually call us the household of God in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I remember that in 1969, I was baptized in the baptistry, and yes, we have a baptistry in the building. In fact, it's just beyond the lectern that I preach from. And I remember that day, and I remember how excited I was, how magnificent I felt. Oh, I felt so clean before the Lord. And I was so thankful that this was possible, so that indeed I could be there and I could be proud of what had happened and the obedience of faith and those who supported and encouraged me. My family ended up attending there, many members of my family, and It was like an old home week for me to come there and be able to work with the congregation, with those who had likewise experienced that cleansing and that opportunity to be a part of the family of God and no longer live in sin. I know that people just get so tired of that sinful existence. And so many think to themselves they don't know what to do. They're not happy with the situation. They're not pleased with the way their life is going. And they realize that they're just full of sin and they want to know what to do. And this is exactly what we're sharing in today's lesson, exactly what to do. But you know, some people think it all starts and stops right there with obedience in being baptized. And they figure that's what being washed is all about. And being initially sanctified and initially justified. And they don't realize, because I ask this question, are these things still needed throughout our lives? The cleansing, that submission to God's will provided, is still needed, and the blood of Jesus is still meant to be cleansing our sin. I turn your attention to the book of 1 John. Have you go with me, please, to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, so that you can see for yourself how the means that God has given us continues to be ours. But if we walk in the light, this is 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. Stop and let that soak in for a second. He is cleansing us from all sin. Now, we must walk in the light as he is in the light. Initially, yes, indeed, we are baptized for the remission of sins, and this, of course, is a cleansing from God. But then we continue to walk in the light, living a holy life that sets itself apart from habitual sinning must continue before God daily. And the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, hits the nail on the head very specifically. Let's take a look. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, another translation says, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Shouldn't God be able to expect that we're going to worship him and serve him? After all, he's freed us from sin, from the bondage of the devil. Yes, I believe that's exactly accurate. Being justified before our God must be a constant condition that we maintain through obedient faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I direct you to the book of Galatians in the New Testament. And when we get in Galatians, let's go, please, to chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2, 16. And let's look at this together, please. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we who believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. You see, it's all about faith. Well, you might ask, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word of God, according to Romans 10, 17. That's where it comes from. And the more we study, the more that faith will increase. But remember, saving faith requires obedience. Obedience to what? That which God himself directs us to do in his word. James talks about this. In James chapter 2, verse 26, as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And of course, he discusses faith with works. He uses the illustration of Abraham in the offering of his son Isaac, which he did as God directed him specifically to do, and thus demonstrated his faith. And also Rahab, in what she said to the spies in Joshua chapter 2, realizing that God was going to give them the city of Jericho, and there'd be no stopping God. That proclamation of faith and her subsequent obedience to her belief that God's people would take the city, and she having negotiated with the spies to save her father's house when they did take the city, is why she's an example there in James chapter 2. When you look at the list of sins that the Corinthians once participated in, Paul wrote, such were some of you. We wonder not only how could someone recover themselves from such, but how could God even ever redeem them in such a condition? The only answer is, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And those are the very words that the Apostle Paul used in Romans chapter 7, verse 25. And as I mentioned before, we were going to be in Romans a tremendous amount. And that's because the sublime truth of God is being brought out in the book of Romans so magnificently, as hopefully you saw in the lesson today. But now let's get down to the most important part of this lesson. And that is that if you are there, out in the radio audience, and you've been troubled by your sin, and you feel like you don't know where to turn or what to do, please understand, God had his son die for you. Stop and think about that a moment. His son was our only means to be saved from our sin. No other way. Only the Son of God could bring that about. And then realize that God has pronounced this to you, and he's taught you through his word exactly what to do to consider yourself saved before him. Again, it's all predicated upon faith, and that being obedient faith. So we always think in terms of that, and we think in terms of passages like Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter answered the Jews and told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, he says, corresponding to that, referring to the ark, he said, baptism now saves you, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, we must be obedient. We must not run from it. That shouldn't be something that we avoid. This is God directing us in the Word on what to do. And as I stated before, he took an element that's absolutely necessary for us to survive on this planet, water, and taught us to be cleansed of our sins. Not only, of course, initially, which I'm encouraging you to be, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and certainly we can facilitate that at the congregation in Ukaipa. And I want to encourage you to come and study and learn. But then you can be free from that which constantly pursues, that guilt and that pain and that suffering associated with sin. You can put all of that behind you. You can actually be sanctified or made holy. And you can be justified as though you've never sinned against God, because of the means that our Father God put in place through his beloved Son, our Master, Jesus. Oh, folks, why would anyone hold out from that? Why would anyone push away from that or put it on the back burner? I've known people that express to me that, well, they'd think about it. And they'd think about it when they got older, or when the kids they just had grew older. And they could take time to think these things over. And the excuses soon began to pile up and pile up and pile up. And then adults sometimes, because they don't want to be embarrassed, turn away. Because they feel ashamed, they turn away. Don't do that. You have every opportunity to become one of God's precious children. What an honor it would be to work with you and study with you and teach you. Please, we encourage you to come and see us at the church in Ukaipa and worship with us. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Ukaipa Church of Christ. The Ukaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Ukaipa Boulevard in Ukaipa. Visit their website at ukaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Ukaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.